it be much longer, Father? I'm ready to embrace my bride and to live with her for 1,000 glorious years.
You know how long it'll be, son. For you know all I've prophesied about you in my holy word. You know I chose to create the world in 6 days, followed by a 7th day of rest, to secretly tell the time of the end from the very beginning. Each one of my creation days represented a future 1,000-year period on planet Earth, or 1,000 trips of Earth around the sun, for a total of 7,000 years. This is my master time plan for planet Earth. I even established the 7-day week in honor of this, and mankind unknowingly celebrates it every 7-day week they live. Therefore, son, you know you'll get to meet your bride at the end of Creation Day 6, when planet Earth is 6,000 years old, because your glorious and restful 1,000-year earthly reign is the prophetic fulfillment of the 7th-day Sabbath in my creation story. Because I knew my Earthlings would be under much deception about the age of planet Earth near the end of 6,000 years, I did something else to prove this is all true. I not only prophesied about Earth's 7th millennium through day 7 of the creation story, but I foretold things about each of Earth's 6 millenniums before it, through each of their respective creation days. And I did this all so mankind would have ironclad proof that I am God, and that my 7,000-year master time plan is truth. So, son, do you remember what I prophesied in Creation Day 1 concerning something that would happen during mankind's first 1,000 years on planet Earth?
We may eat the fruit of any tree except this one. God said that if we eat its fruit, we will die.
What about that tree? The fruit over there looks very tasty.
God said that we cannot eat from that tree, or even touch it. He said that we can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except that one. If we do eat from that tree, we will die.
Did God say that? You will not die. God knows that when you eat the fruit of that tree, you'll be just like Him. Your eyes will be opened, and you will know the difference between good and evil.
God said no.
That is because God does not want you to be the same as Him. The fruit will do that. It will make you great and powerful, just like him.
Woman, where are you?
And that was it. That was the moment Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After this, mankind became like us, to know the difference between what is good and what is evil. And how did I prophesy that this would happen during mankind's first 1,000 years on Earth? I created light, and then I divided the light from the darkness during day one of creation. In my word, I often refer to light as good and darkness as evil. Therefore, my dividing of light and darkness foretold of mankind's fall in the Garden of Eden, after which good and evil became separately discernible in their hearts. Son, do you remember what I prophesied in Creation Day 2 about some major event that would occur during Earth's second 1,000-year period?
Yes, I do, Father. That was the millennial day of Noah and the destructive worldwide flood.
That's right, son. The great flood occurred 1,656 years after creation, and it was the event I had prophesied of happening in day two of creation. But the reason why I chose to prophesy of this event is the bigger story. It's because the entire story of Noah, the Ark, and the global flood was to be a prophetic picture of your second coming. In other words, the story reveals what will happen on planet Earth during its 6,000th year.
Fill it, and our work is done. Shem! Ham! Japheth! Thank you. fear not. The Lord hath spoken and said, bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive. So they have followed me and put their trust in us to mind them and bring them to safety. They are good beasts in their hearts. They will do no harm to you, nor to each other. For in them is the knowledge of the great waters that will fall upon the earth. And God hath chosen them above all others. There are more beasts yet to come. Japheth, help them find their way. Ham, Shem, load hay and grain. Wife, thou and the daughters, put oil into the lamps, and get thy house aboard the ark in order.
I know the meaning of this story, Father. Noah was a picture of me, and the ark was a picture of heaven. Each day Noah worked, building rooms in the ark. It was a picture of me, preparing rooms for my bride in heaven. The ark had three levels, as does heaven. The ark had windows, as does heaven. And the ark had one door in its side, which represents me. For I am the only door through which mankind can enter into the kingdom of heaven.
You are correct, son. I gave Noah detailed plans for building the ark. And it was all for the reasons you say. But the real prophetic action concerning your second coming began when the ark was completed and Noah reached 600 years old. For his age was to represent Earth's 6,000th year. It was then that I told Noah and his family to enter the ark. And I shut the door, for this is how it will be, the day of your return, son. And then I unleashed a torrential flood to utterly destroy every wicked person living on Earth's surface, as at the same time, Noah's house rose up high into the air to safety above the carnage below.
I know, Father. And you did it all because this is exactly how it will be on the day of my return. One righteous house of people, my sons and daughters, will be raptured up off planet Earth, high into the air, to meet me in the clouds, as Earth's surface and a world of ungodly beast-marked people will perish in a horrendous global flood of fire.
Thank you. Thank you. wife. It is the chaff which the wind driveth away. Taken hold of the ends of the earth and shaketh it.
Oh, what a great and terrible day it was for Noah, my son. And oh, what a great and terrible day it will be for you on the day of your return. And how did I prophesy this event would happen during Earth's second 1,000-year period? I created the sky in the midst of the waters, and then I divided the waters above and below it during day two of creation. Before the great flood of Noah's day, the skies had never seen clouds or rain. The earth was watered by a mist coming up from the ground. But at the time of the flood, the fountains of the deep burst open, and the skies were in the midst of the water, being full of rain. And afterward, I divided earth's water above and below the sky by clouds above and the ocean beneath. Son, do you remember what I prophesied in day three of creation concerning Earth's third 1,000-year period?
Yes, I certainly do, Father. This was the millennial day of Moses and the Israelites' Red Sea deliverance event.
You got it, son. My parting of the Red Sea happened 2,638 years after creation. And it was the event I had prophesied about in day three of creation. But again, the reason why I chose to prophesy of this event is the bigger story. And it's because what happened at the Red Sea through Moses was to be a prophetic picture of what you would accomplish, son, dying on a cross for the sins of mankind.
I know what this story is about too, Father. For you planned, designed, and controlled it all to tell the earthly story of mankind's souls. The kingdom of Egypt represented the kingdom of darkness, and Pharaoh and his army were a picture of Satan and his demons. The Israelites represented all of mankind, and Moses was a picture of me.
You're right again, son. It was Satan who held the souls of mankind in bondage to sin and death. Just as I planned for Pharaoh in this story to hold the Israelites in bondage to slavery and death. Oh, but I sent the Israelites a savior to deliver them out of the hand of the enemy, the man Moses.
We're trapped. You've led us into a trap.
What kind of leader are you?
You'll have us killed, all of us!
Enough!
Father, standing there in front of the Red Sea, with Pharaoh's army closing in fast from behind, it was an utterly hopeless situation for the Israelites, for Pharaoh held the power of death over them. But this is exactly how you wanted the scene to play out, wasn't it, Father? Because in the same manner, ever since Satan deceived Adam and Eve into sinning in the Garden of Eden, all mankind was born into sin and death. And thus it was Satan who held the power of death over mankind's souls. Oh, but you told Moses to stretch out his arms over the Red Sea, and in so doing, Moses became a picture of me, stretching out my arms on the cross. And then you divided the Red Sea, helped the Israelites across to freedom, and then destroyed all of Pharaoh's army, including Pharaoh himself, by collapsing the Red Sea in on them. And all of this was done by you to show the complete and utter victory my red blood won over Satan and his demons as I hung on the cross.
Yes, son, the wages of sin is death. But your righteous death became the acceptable sacrifice, able to pay mankind's death sentence. The moment you died on the cross, and your atoning death became a reality, Satan and his power of death over mankind's souls was destroyed. Here's one of the biggest secrets I've kept in my word, my son. In this salvation story of Moses and the Israelites, unbeknownst to mankind, I prophetically declared the year from creation that you would die on the cross. How? It's in the fact that I chose to deliver the Israelites after 400 years of bondage. In this way, I foretold that you, son, would deliver mankind's souls out of bondage, dying on a cross during Earth's 4,000th year. And how did I prophesy the Red Sea event would occur during Earth's third 1,000-year period? I gathered the waters together and let the dry land appear during day 3 of creation. And this is precisely what I did at the Red Sea. I gathered the waters together so the Israelites could cross over to freedom on dry land.
Well, Father, there's no need to ask me about the fourth day of creation and what you prophesied in it concerning Earth's fourth 1,000-year period, for I know exactly what it's about. Earth's fourth millennium is when you plan for John the Baptist and I to live and die, fulfilling our earthly missions.
Yes, son, I prophesied the coming of you, the Messiah, and John the Baptist, the forerunner, in day 4 of creation. And when the time came, I sent the angel Gabriel to make the announcement.
Pigeons for sacrifice! One half shekel.
No gold for sacrifice.
No blemishes.
One shekel.
This honor is for you, Zachariah, and your village.
Shifti babit adoshem. Lachazoth banoam adoshem. Ulbaker behi cholo. שאלתי מי את אדושם. שבתי בבית אדושם.
אחת שאלתי מי את אדושם.
לחזות בנועם אדושם. ולבקר בהי חולו. אחת שאלתי מי את אדושם.
זכרי.
Your wife will bear you a son. You will call him John.
My wife is too old to bear a child.
And he will be the prophet of the Most High, for he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Man.
You will be struck down and not be able to speak because you believest not my words.
Elizabeth! What's wrong, Zachariah?
He has seen a vision. A vision from God.
The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Come, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be, since I've been with no man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from the Most High will overshadow you. And the holy offspring should be called the Son of God.
Son of God?
Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. For nothing said by God can be impossible.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
What name have you given him?
He shall have the name of John.
John? But Elizabeth, there is no one in your family who bears that name. Zechariah would not wish for this.
If he could speak, he would want a name that honors such a blessed child.
Where does this name come from, Elizabeth?
Where all names come from.
His name is John.
He speaks!
Joseph, the child is pressing.
The child? Now?
Now.
Yes. We're very close.
Bethlehem. We're here. We will find a place. I promise. Is there a place for my wife and me to stay?
I'm sorry, there is no room here.
Please, is there an inn? Is there a place for us? My wife, she's in pain. Is there a place for us? No. Open the door!
Go away!
Help!
Please, Lord. Will you not provide for us?
There's someone! Help us!
Joseph! Joseph!
Mary!
me! Help! I beg you! I have not your home, but any place you have.
It's all I can do.
That's the humble way you chose, Father, to bring John the Baptist die into the world. And it would be some 30 years later when our missions would begin, just a few short years away from Earth's 4,000th year.
Who are you?
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those who sent us.
What do you say about yourself?
I'm the voice of someone shouting in the desert.
Make a straight path for the Lord to travel!
If you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?
I baptize with water. But among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals. The Lamb of God, who who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, you will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, and I tell you that he is the Son of God.
The Apostle John wrote these words about John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And about you, son, John wrote, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And how did I prophesy that you and John the Baptist would live and die during Earth's fourth 1,000-year period? I created the greater and lesser lights, the sun and the moon, during day four of creation. Just as the moon is not a real light source, but merely reflects the sun's light, so too, John the Baptist was not the real light, but was sent to bear witness of you, son, the true, life-giving light of the world. Was the story of Moses delivering the Israelites out of bondage after 400 years the only place in my word where I prophesied that you, son, would die during Earth's 4,000th year? No. I secretly prophesied this fact over and over and over again. I hid it in the dimensions I gave Solomon for constructing the altar in the first temple. This was the place where thousands of lambs were sacrificed, all of them a prophetic picture of you, son, the true sacrificial Lamb of God. And what was the altar's volume? 4,000 cubic cubits, 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 10 cubits high. Yes, the altar's 4,000 cubic cubits volume foretold the fullness of time when the Lamb of God would be sacrificed. Earth's 4,000th year. I hid it in the story of Samson. Samson was also a prophetic picture of you, son. I raised him up to deliver the Israelites out of bondage to the Philistines. And as he died, just like you, with arms outstretched between two pillars, he destroyed the enemy.
Give me thine the Philistines!
Israelites in bondage till I sent them their savior, Samson? 40 years, son. 40 years. Here again, I foretold you would deliver mankind's souls out of bondage, dying on a cross during Earth's 4,000th year. I even hid it in the story of you raising Lazarus from the dead, son. This miracle took place only weeks from the time of your death, meaning it was actually Earth's 4,000th year already when you performed it.
Lazarus! Come out!
I remember this, Father. When I got the news Lazarus had died, you instructed me to wait 2 days before traveling to Lazarus's grave.
Untie him and let him go.
That's right, son. And how many days was he dead before you raised him to life? 4 days. I designed this miracle to be yet another prophetic picture of what you were about to do on the cross for mankind's souls. Your sinless sacrificial death was about to give mankind's sinful dead souls life again after they had been dead for 4 days. Meaning 4,000 years. Yes, son, it is a truth. You died on the cross during Earth's 4,000th year, at the end of Earth's 4th millennium. It was year 28 on mankind's calendar today, and this left just 2 days or 2,000 years till you would return to planet Earth during its 6,000th year, fulfilling the prophetic story of Noah and the destructive worldwide flood. This will all go down year 2028. Now, in looking at day 5 and day 6 of the creation story, and wondering what I prophesied in them concerning Earth's 5th and 6th millenniums, another proof of your death during Earth's 4,000th year appears. Yes, son, unbeknownst to mankind, I actually prophesied the year of your death from the beginning of creation. How did I do it? It's in the fact that day 5 and day 6 are the only 2 days when I created living creatures in whom exist the breath of life. Day 5, I created all the birds of the air and all the fish of the sea. And day 6, I created all the beasts of the field and mankind himself. Days 1 through 4 in the creation story, no animal life existed on Earth. In this way, I foretold from the creation of the world that mankind would be dead to sin for exactly 4 days or 4,000 years until the Messiah, you, my son, would give them life. After which, mankind would have just 2 days or 2,000 years left to live on Earth until you would return and set up your glorious Millennial Sabbath Kingdom.
All right, Father. So what we've learned so far in your amazingly prophetic 7-day creation story is that you had all of Earth's most important events and the time of them planned out even before you laid the foundations of the world. You knew mankind would fall into sin during Earth's first year, and thus foretold of it in day one of creation. You knew mankind would later be saved from the death consequence of that sin by a Messiah during Earth's 4,000th year, and thus you foretold of it in day four of creation. In day two of creation, you foretold of Noah and the great flood, which was really one massive prophecy telling of the events to take place during Earth's 6,000th year, at the time of my second coming. And day three of creation, you foretold of Moses and the Israelites' deliverance event at the Red Sea, which was also one massive prophecy telling of the events to take place during Earth's 4,000th year, at the time of my first coming.
You got it, son. And now we come to day five of creation. Do you remember what I prophesied in it concerning some major event that would happen during Earth's fifth 1,000-year period?
Yes, Father. This was the millennium the Comforter would come to mankind. A fresh, brand new outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Right, son. 40 days after your death, you ascended back into heaven. And 10 days later, the day of Pentecost arrived.
When the Holy Spirit comes to you,
you'll receive power.
The power of the Holy Spirit can be with you all, whatever you are. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Peace be with you.
Good to see you again, Stephen. Matthew.
What form will it take? When will it come? Jesus said all we had to do is ask. I have been asking. Every day.
The Holy Spirit will come when the time is right. I think we should pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Oh, yeah!
Speak those languages.
The Holy Spirit. He is with us.
And that's the way the Holy Ghost was first poured out on mankind. And it still continues to this very day. And how did I prophesy that it would arrive during Earth's 5th 1,000-year period? I put life in the water, creating all the life-breathing fish of the sea during day 5 of creation.
Yes, Father, you liken the Holy Ghost to life-giving water in your word. In fact, you had me preach, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But you were talking through me here about the Holy Ghost, the water of life, which was to come only after I ascended back into heaven.
That's right, son. Even Peter understood on the day of Pentecost that the prophet Joel had spoke of these things, saying, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." My son, the last days are the last 2 days, days 5 and 6, before the end arrives at year 6,000, and you set up your millennial, seventh-day Sabbath kingdom. In other words, Joel was prophesying the Holy Spirit would begin being poured out at the start of Earth's 5th millennium, or year 4,000, and carry through until year 6,000. One of the first things mankind prophesied in the last days, when the Holy Ghost began moving through them, was this truth we've been speaking about today, son. That my 7-day creation story foretold of a 7,000-year plan for planet Earth. Barnabas wrote about it in the 2nd century A.D. Of the Sabbath, he speaketh in the beginning of the creation. And God made the works of his hands in 6 days, and he ended on the 7th day, and rested on it, and he hallowed it. Give heed, children, what this meaneth. He ended in 6 days. He meaneth this, that in 6,000 years, the Lord shall bring all things to an end. For the day with him signifieth 1,000 years. And this he himself beareth me witness, saying, Behold, the day of the Lord shall be as 1,000 years. Therefore, children, in 6 days, that is, in 6,000 years, everything shall come to an end. And he rested on the seventh day. This he meaneth, when his son shall come, and shall abolish the time of the lawless one, and shall judge the ungodly, and shall change the sun and the moon and the stars, then shall he truly rest on the seventh day. Hippolytus spoke about it in the 3rd century A.D., and 6,000 years must needs be accomplished in order that the Sabbath may come, the rest, the holy day, on which God rested from all his works. For the Sabbath is the type and emblem of the future kingdom of the saints, when they shall reign with Christ, when he comes from heaven, as John says in his Apocalypse. For a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Since then, in 6 days, God made all things. It follows that 6,000 years must be fulfilled. And Lactantius heralded it in the 4th century A.D. Therefore, since all the works of God were completed in 6 days, the world must continue in its present state through 6 ages, that is, 6,000 years. And as God labored during those 6 days in creating such great works, so his religion and truth must labor during these 6,000 years, while wickedness prevails and bears rule. And again, since God, having finished his works, rested the seventh day and blessed it, at the end of the 6,000th year, all wickedness must be abolished from the earth, and righteousness reign for 1,000 years. And there must be tranquility and rest from the labors which the world now has long endured. And many more have proclaimed this truth of mine throughout the last 2 millenniums.
Well, Father, this leaves just day 6 to be fulfilled in your prophetic 7-day creation story. And you've just recently allowed mankind to develop the technology that will allow for its fulfillment.
That's right, son. Earth's 6th 1,000-year period will come to an end during year 2028. And during the final 7 years leading up to that time, a very evil man will rise to a global position of power. This man is known in my word as the Antichrist, or the Lawless One, and he will be inhabited by Satan. And he will make all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead, so that no one might be able to buy or sell unless they have that mark. And how did I prophesy the Antichrist would arrive during Earth's 6th 1,000-year period? I created man during day 6 of creation, then I commanded him to subdue the earth and to take dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This foretold of the Antichrist, who will be a man with a number equaling 666. And around 2025, just 3.5 years from the end, he will utilize all of mankind's modern technology. Satellites, computers, weapons, RFID, GPS, etc. to subdue all of Earth's people, taking dominion over all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Satan's working real hard in these last days, my son, to make mankind believe planet Earth is billions of years old, because he doesn't want the truth behind my 7-day creation story to be known and believed. He doesn't want the people of Earth to know its destruction is drawing nigh. He wants the whole world to be caught blindsided. But rest assured, planet Earth is only now approaching 6,000 years old. And when it reaches that age, I will send you, at the sound of a trumpet, with clouds of angels, to go and gather up into the air the remaining remnant of your family still alive on Earth, those righteous few who have made it through the Antichrist reign without taking his mark. And then I will burn the whole face of planet Earth with fire, destroying the Antichrist and every last wicked, ungodly sinner. But then I will make a new start to planet Earth, one wherein righteousness shall dwell. And I will set you down on it with your bride, and the earth shall know love and peace for 1,000 years. Oh, the beauty of the Lord's Day! Your millennial Sabbath reign, my son, is beyond mankind's imagination, but only the pure in heart will be there.
I have been preparing a place for you, so that where I am, there you can be also. I am coming quickly.